Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let me ask you a question. Is this Saturday paper for people that think they're very smart? Is that the sort of newspaper we're reading from here?
Yeah, yeah.
Because these questions are rather difficult.
It's a hard question.
Quite, yes. I'm feeling nervous for your score.
Welcome to Wax Quizzical. This is the podcast with all the best bits of the podcast. Do you want to do a best of episode? They asked me. And I said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And they said, Kyron, when do you think is the best time to do that? And I said, what about early morning on Tuesday, the 5th of January? And they said, awesome. Let's put that together. So here we are, the perfectly timed best of 2020 episode. I think we found 10 bits that we really, really loved from the last, what are we doing this now, 6 months? I think we've been doing 6 months, and we've crunched them all together and just pulled out the best, and we're going to play them for you today before we get back to regular programming next week, next Monday indeed. So this first episode, Nazim Hussein dropped by to see if he could get 10 out of 10. Didn't work out for him. And maybe that's down to his brain's trust. A good friend of Luke McGregor's, we had the accuser, the adversary, the antichrist, it's the devil.
Hello. Hello. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, enemy number one.
Oh, please. Satan, if it's easier.
Satan. Oh, you got many names, don't you?
I do, yes. Quite a few nicknames. But I guess whichever one you want to go with is fine by me.
Well, we'll see how many of them come up. Are you a big gardener, Satan?
No, it's fairly hard to grow plants in hell. The conditions aren't amazing. We do have gardeners that have been punished and sent to hell, and then we do put them out in. We make them think that there's quite a fertile soil, but obviously when they go to plant something, they can't grow anything. So it's very frustrating for them. It's more of a rocky environment, if I must admit.
There's the Garden of Eden, that's in heaven, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I haven't been there for a while, so I'm not sure what they've done with the place. But we do have a garden, but I have access to it, obviously.
I've got to ask, if you don't mind me asking, it's probably a personal question, what are your actual powers? Like, what can you do to people? Because some say that you can shoot fire at people, but other people describe you as someone that just suggests bad things in people's ears.
Yes, I'm a bit like social media. I just I suggest things. I'm a bit of a lurker, but I don't really take control of anyone or possess anyone. That's not really how it works. Right. We just have a lot of devils who sitting on, say, Twitter, and then we'll just tweet something out,
right.
You know, one of them will say, "Don't wear masks," or you know, and then we'll just see what happens. But you know, it's more just sort of meddling as opposed to direct control.
See how many retweets you get.
Yes.
Is there some sort of reward system, KPIs and stuff like that?
Not really. I mean, it's for eternity, so I can't fire anyone. No one can leave. So I mean, I can't send them back.
Yeah.
So you know, there's not really, you know, people, you know, if they do a bad job, well, it's hell. What are you going to do?
Mm.
And I should say that I will see all of you eventually in hell. No one's perfect. So everyone, what people don't know is that everyone does go to hell, except for dogs.
Except for who? Dogs.
But dogs don't go to hell. Some dogs go to hell, but most of them don't.
Yeah. Well, they're all such good boys and girls, aren't they?
They are, yes. Cats, though, we've got
full of them.
Cats running around everywhere. Big cat fan.
All right, well, shall we dive into a quiz and see how we go here? Question number one, Nazim. Which 1974 song by The 3 Degrees begins with the words "precious moments"?
I'm going to have to lean on the Brains Trust here.
Yeah, well, let's go to the King of the Bottomless Pit. Do you know a song that starts with "precious moments"?
Precious moments. No, there aren't a lot of, I mean, they're precious moments to me in hell, but there aren't...
Are you English?
No. I'm just sort of very excited by my lifestyle. Precious moments. One precious moment in hell was, I remember when we put in a table tennis table, but no bowls, and the net would always fall down. So that was a fun week.
Say balls or bowls?
Balls. I can't say bowls very well.
As in the bouncy balls or the...
Or like a bouncy bowl. But I say it the same way as bowl.
So which one are you referring to? The one that you put fruit in?
No, the bowl, the table tennis bowl. I mean, at this point, the anecdote is dead in the water. But but I was referring, of course, to a table tennis bowl. But yes, 3 degrees. I'm not sure. No, and it very rarely gets to 3 degrees in hell. It's often quite hotter, so I can't say I've heard of this song. And even if I did know the answer, it's... you know, even if I did know the answer, it's not in my nature to help someone. So you did pick Satan, so obviously you must have expected something was going to go wrong.
Well, we do just need the name of a 1974 song then.
Well, it's definitely not death metal because the devil would know about that. That's your style, isn't it? That's your thing. Yeah, I think Queen, the original name was 3 Degrees.
Do you want to lock in Bohemian Rhapsody?
I think
you actually pop up in that song, don't you, Beelzebub?
Yes, it's a great song.
Yeah.
I think they probably performed that under Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, that's a little known fact.
It's a little known fact, yeah.
Even I know that. Huh?
Yeah.
Very little known.
So let's lock in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, we'll lock in Bohemian Rhapsody. But unfortunately, it was "When Will I See You Again?" So disappointingly, no point there. Next up, Georgia Mooney from All Our Exes Live in Texas, and actually her solo record. I wonder, probably coming out sometime this year. You could say this year now. Dropped by to see if she could get 10 out of 10 with her Brains Trust of student council president Polly Hanrahan, good friend of Bridie Connell's, and good friend of Cal Wilson's, Meredith Music Festival. It's very rare that we've had a psychic on this show, let alone a cutlery psychic.
My Chiron.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. If I could just ask one favour just at the start.
Please, yeah.
I'm getting a lot of loud feedback from some of your forks. Would you be able to just close the drawer a little? Because
I didn't even realise it was open.
It sounds nice and quiet to you, but it's quite loud for me.
Yeah, sorry, I don't even notice if I leave the cutlery drawer open. So is this an impact of being a cutlery psychic?
I mean, I'm learning a lot about you, Chiron, from your cutlery as we speak. And one of them, a knife, is saying he never fucking shuts the cutlery drawer.
Yeah, it's true.
That's not from me. That's from your knife.
That's interesting. I'll just open the third drawer down, actually, if you just give me a second.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Chiron. Chiron. It's a terrible accident that's happened between a cookie cutter and a cake slide.
Yeah.
The scratches are... This is not what I signed up for. There's a lot of distress.
I know. So sorry. I'll shut that for you there. Sorry, that wasn't very firm shut. I don't have those gliders on my drawers. You know, those beautiful finishes that you see in the homes that they give away on telethon? you know, I don't have that. I just it yes, just
I'm,
shuts.
I'm well aware.
When it
I'm
shuts, well it shuts, you know.
You find that the second drawdown is often a bit of a battlefield with so many mixed
so many types. Mixed things. And nothing sadder than a single chopstick.
Yeah.
Nothing sadder. Just one chopstick. And yeah. Bamboo is harder to read. It's not metal.
Okay.
But you do sometimes hear just a desolate howl. And sometimes that howl is answered from a pot plant on the terrace that has been held up with the other chopstick. It's it's like Romeo and Juliet, but they're supposed to go in your mouth.
Wow. So it does sound like if any cutlery questions come up, they'll be covered. But do you have any other areas of expertise, Meredith Music Festival, that that you might be able to bring to the quiz today to assist Georgia?
Well, to be honest, a lot of my time is taken up by cutlery because it is my passion as my job. But also I am a stylist and actually I meld my two passions together because I'm led by the cutlery. So often, you know, there's a trend for big open spaces, open plan, open concept spaces. But when I listen to what the cutlery wants, often I will remodel someone's home. So instead of a vast living space, I reconfigure it into just a series of giant drawers, just layers of velvet and giant drawers. And all of the people who live in the house can therefore lie on their backs and slide into their drawers and really experience what it is to be cutlery.
Yeah, you do notice that on Grand Designs, not, you know, Kevin MacLeod, it's not very cutlery forward. Is it?
No, I've written many letters, but actually it's interesting. I ate at a restaurant once and the spoon that I was using had been used by Kevin MacLeod and she didn't have a lot of positive feedback.
No, but I'm sure the spoon delivered it in a way that made it sound like it was positive feedback.
Yes, she'd spent a lot of time with Kevin. She was actually quite insulting, but I didn't realise until afterwards when I played the conversation back to myself.
English television personality Joe Frost is also well known by what nickname? You spent some time in the UK, Georgia.
Frosty. Frosto.
Are you friends with the Frostmeister?
Mrs. Frost.
The Frostington?
I have spent time in the UK. I've not come across Joe. Jack? Joe?
Joe. Joe Frost. Yes, that's a firm
bad.
No.
Joe Frost. Okay. TV personality.
TV personality. All right. After school television, Polly, was a feature of my schooling. I used to come home and turn it on pretty much straight away at 3:30, grab the cartoons, you know, maybe a little bit of Huey's Cooking Adventures. Do you turn on the TV when you get home?
No, my ideal weekday afternoon would be something like reading Machiavelli's The Prince or something like that. But that's great that you love TV and I'm very happy for you. The only thing that I can think of is the lyrics to Frosty the Snowman or the oeuvre, of course, of Robert Frost the poet, another pastime I love to read poetry, but I'm not familiar with Joe Frost, so I'll have to pass.
Perhaps we could tune in to Joe Frost's cutlery and see if we could get some information there, Meredith.
It's funny you should say that, Kyron, because that's exactly what I've been doing. One of my spirit guides is Marie Antoinette's cake fork. And so I've been talking to Jean-Marie, and Jean-Marie also happens to know Joe Frost's cucumber slice.
Really?
Wow.
Whoa.
What is a cucumber slice? I've not come across that before.
It's like a human razor,
okay,
larger with a deeper blade, and to be honest, it's really only used in choreographed fight scenes amongst certain societies. I don't want to say Freemasons. So obviously, she was given the cucumber slice as a congratulations for getting the job. But it turns out that her nickname, according to the cucumber slice, certainly around the house, is Titsy McGee.
Titsy McGee.
Wow. Well, that is interesting.
I wasn't expecting it to be Titsy McGee.
No.
I don't know about you, Georgia. That threw me.
Neither was I. Jean-Marie was quite shocked as well as Hiri Lady, who was Sacre Bleu. It's Titsy McGee.
Yeah.
Titsy McGee. Well, I'm happy to lock that in.
You want to, okay, let's put down Titsy
McGee. A more reputable source than a cucumber knife.
I want to talk more about Marie Antoinette's cake fork because to have lived an existence so close to one of the most famous quotes of all history, perhaps that cake fork,
Jean-Marie,
could confirm or deny whether indeed Marie Antoinette said, "Let them eat cake."
This is what happened because we did discuss this. It's one of those questions that tends to follow
on. Well,
it'd
be the first one.
So what happened was she was having lessons in speaking English and for some reason her tutor, who was written by Jane Austen, decided that the phrase that she should learn in English was, let them eat cake. And the actual uproar was that when her advisor came to her and said, the people are starving, in French, obviously, so it probably sounded a bit more like, the people are starving, when they came to, and said that to her, that she answered in English and they didn't know what she said and they executed her. And all she was saying was, let them eat cake, which was a generous offer to allow Jean-Marie to have a holiday in England with the English tutor.
Yeah.
I don't see that written down in many history books.
You don't. No, it's gone the same way as the bayonet knife, unfortunately.
So lucky to have you to correct history for us.
Oh, it's a burden, but I'm just glad to help.
It may surprise you to learn that it wasn't Titsy McGee, it was Super Nanny. Up next, Reese Nicholson has been on the podcast once or twice, or thrice. When he pops up, it's a good indication that someone else has dropped off. You know, it's a good clue that something's gone horribly wrong and Reese is sitting in the next room. On this particular episode, he was joined by, on the Brains Trust, Stephen Manley, President of Society of Chodes, a good friend of Ben Russell's, not because they both have chodes. I think later in the episode we learned that Ben has something of a hog. But also they were joined by Michelle Brazier's good friend, popular musician, Paris Hilton. And I started by asking, because I haven't seen her in a while, what have you been up to lately?
I've just been going through my bags.
Now, when you say bags, do you mean like you had a couple bags?
Louis Vuitton or Coke?
Yeah, Louis Vuitton bags of Coke, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Right. Weirdly, less expensive than Australian cocaine. So.
Yeah.
But I did see that because you have kind of come out recently and said that all the last kind of version of you was not real and this is the real. So is this, are we getting the real you now?
Yeah.
Yes. In a lot of ways, Paris Hilton is just like Julia Gillard.
Well, she came out, she was like, now you're getting the real Julia.
Yeah.
So yeah. Was that your inspiration?
I will not sit here and be lectured on misogyny and by this man. I won't do it. So, yeah, this is the real me. So
the Paris Hilton Accord.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. the hotel.
I think I'm a member of Accord.
Yeah, I think you are. That's, yeah.
Do you know all the members do?
I know every single one.
There's only about 20 of us, I think.
Yeah, it's Reese and
name the other 19.
John Woods.
The actor.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Chelsea.
Ooh.
And
well, thanks for being here, Paris. it's exciting to have you back. Which American singer links the songs Tired of Being Alone, Call Me, and Everything's Gonna Be All Right? Tired of Being Alone, Call Me, and Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Any of those tracks ring any bells for anybody?
Bob Marley.
You reckon Bob Marley?
Everything is gonna be all right.
Yes. But then Call Me is Blondie, isn't it?
And that song is called No Woman, No Cry.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So my argument is Falling Down.
Are they any of your tracks, Paris?
They are all on my new album, yeah. Oh,
what's the album called? We can give it a plug.
The album is called Diamonds.
Oh. Diamonds featuring Tired of Being Alone, Call Me and Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
Yeah, and my the lead single is called Daddy.
Maybe could we hear a little bit of Daddy?
Yeah. Okay. So it goes like, oh my God, this is crazy. Okay. So it's like, Daddy didn't come home today, but we're gonna wear his shoes anyway. And girls are coming over and we're gonna have shots and we're gonna get into the poo. And then there's like an EDM
breakdown.
I'm sorry,
did you say gonna get into the poo?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I said into the poo. It's like I am like a treatment.
Oh, it's a treatment thing.
It's that's it's another not, thing. It's another product anal. I'm bringing out.
Anal is but a dream. I've heard
barely touch the song.
I've heard another one of my songs. Actually, anal is but a dream.
I dream the dream of
in
anal.
Brackets, Daddy.
Now, does it say musician? Like, does it? Because
which American singer? It says singer.
Singer, like. Yep. I mean, it's not Debbie, like, Call Me, I just can't get past Call Me being a Debbie Harry song, but is it like?
Well, it could be that maybe Debbie Harry has sung on other people's songs, so it may be, you know, it doesn't, it's not necessarily that it's Blondie's song, so it could be that.
Yeah, let's lock in Debbie Harry. Is everyone happy with Debbie Harry?
Yeah. Aye, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Debbie Harry, it was Al Green. Next up, we have, oh, this is a surprise, Reese Nicholson, popular Melbourne comedian. Got a new Netflix special out, actually. Worth checking out. Obviously, someone couldn't come to this ep. Reese jumped in with a brains trust. We had a friend of Alex Lee by the name of Candy Mulligan, a 2-inch-tall Sydney zookeeper from memory, and also a friend of AJ Lamarck's, a party organizer, a German party organizer by the name of Hans Indier.
Guten Morgen, guten Abend, wie geht's y'all?
Hello, Hans. Thank you for joining us. 90s German nightclubs. What was the scene like back then?
It was the party in the morning, and then naturally you would go for brunch. And then after brunch, you just party straight into the evening and you just repeat and repeat. Sometimes you pick your kids up from school and drop them off again, yep. But It was fun time.
And you owned, what was the nightclub that you had?
It was called Party Party.
Party Party.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Everything he said so far has been like an innuendo. Dropping the kids off, omelets for brunch, who knows?
No, we are pretty direct people. We say what we mean. I don't know innuendo, this word.
Party Party, that sounds like, was that one of those big like multi-floor clubs, giant?
Yeah, we even had travelators. It was that big that sometimes you were just like, I can't walk straight. And so you just travelate all the way along to different rooms.
Oh, I thought you said you had travel agents.
Oh yeah, that too. Because sometimes you're like, hey, Germany's like, oh, I like it, but doof doof, maybe I want Spanish doof doof. And off you travelate.
Just so I know, in German, how many floors were there?
21.
Oh, wow.
Right. Asked and answered?
21?
Yeah.
Hello.
I feel like such a fool.
21 floors nightclub. How do you go with quizzes, Hans? Did you get time in the 90s to also do some study?
Yeah, actually, one of the floors in Party Party was actually a examination floor for the bar. So a lot of lawyers would come in and sit the bar. And then they would become lawyers and go off and do other things. So I am
so convenient to be able to sit the bar exam at the bar.
At the bar.
Exactly. That was actually the name of the floor you've been.
Oh.
Bar.
Yeah.
Great. No, I wish I had. Unfortunately, I was a little baby. Wow. How old are you, huh?
Right, yeah.
Just out of interest?
I am 21.
21 years old.
You're 21 and you owned a nightclub in the 90s.
Yeah, what can I say? Wow. We start young. We are very efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Embryonic ownership.
Yeah.
That's
which is a band, I think, that toured around that time.
Yeah. How many labors did Hercules reputedly perform? Did Hercules ever drop into Party Party?
Oh, yeah. He was actually one of the first people that laid the founding bricks. And that was actually one of the 7 labors, I believe, that he had to do.
One of the 7.
Yeah. So one was help me build Party Party. The second was find a good brunch spot nearby that could accommodate, you know, 1 to 20,000 people on any given day.
Yes.
The third was learn how to sing Eine kleine Menschen. It's a very fun German song. And the fourth was to figure out three other things that he could do to make it seven.
Do you want to lock in seven, Reese?
I reckon seven sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, I don't understand how you're going to get any closer to the answer than that.
And I guess the last one of the labours was to see how many he'd done. He had to count it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't seven. It was 12. So that's 4 out of 4 wrong so far. Not doing so well on this best of 2020 episode of Wax Quizzical. On this particular episode, we had Araya Gorgowski's good friend Fanny Farkle, a dog walker from New York, and Broden Kelly, one third of Auntie Donna, available now on Netflix, as a chicken, I think, possibly. I found out together with Michael Hing, who, because he's a very popular presenter on popular youth radio network Triple J, thought might know what the link is between the albums Looking for Butterboy, Into the Bloodstream, and Tell Me Why.
No, nothing's coming to mind right now. Fanny, do you have any ideas on? Are you much of a music fan, or are you mostly listening to the gentle barking of dogs?
That's true. I do have one favorite artist though, which is the Baha Men.
Yes.
But I don't recall them having any singles by those names.
No.
But I'm pretty sure they just have that one. My favorite song.
You Let the Chickens Out.
Which is your
by the Baha
Men. Which is your favorite song by the Baha Men?
It's Who Let the Dogs
Out. Of course. Yes.
Did you ever get to the bottom of that?
I don't think they did, no, but I suspect the Baha Men themselves.
You think it was an inside job? You think this was
a false flag operation by the
Baha Men who have called it in, saying someone let the dogs out, but it was actually them who did it.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Yeah, my mother always says, whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Mm. Is there a large dog population in New York?
Oh, it's massive. Have you ever been to New York?
I have once.
There was one day I think I walked at least 50 dogs.
In a day?
They're everywhere.
Up to and including 50.
How many can you manage at one time?
That was at one time.
Wow. 50 at once.
It was too many.
Kyron, in New York, there's all underground dogs and they go right up the city and down. It's a whole...
Right.
It's
Are you
a whole
thinking of trains?
Yeah, sorry, I am. Yep. I'm thinking of the subway, the train subway system.
You're speaking with quite a bit of authority. Have you been to New York, Chicken?
Yeah, I went to see Hamilton.
And they just talk me through the process of you, a chicken, a real-life chicken, getting to New York.
Yeah.
And then second to that, getting in to see the hit musical Hamilton, including how a chicken got tickets to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So essentially Lin-Manuel Miranda is a music composer and writer of, you know, with a real focus on hip-hop. He sort of broke ground with In the Heights.
So we know what Hamilton is.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So we're across Hamilton. We're more wondering how you, a chicken... Yeah. Got to New York,
yeah, by,
and then saw
Hamilton.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, I can't fly because of
famously chickens, flightless birds.
Well, yeah, that's right, and I'm on a list, so you know you've just got to go by you know whatever way you can. But you can now watch Hamilton on Disney Plus.
But you watched it on Disney Plus in New York?
No, I was in Warrnambool, you know, on my chicken farm.
So you went to New York. You didn't watch Hamilton there. You came back to Warrnambool and then you watched Hamilton on Disney Plus.
It was sold out. It was sold out for months, Michael. Like,
anyway, sorry, that none of that was helpful, and I don't know the answer to this question.
Which artist links the albums Looking for Butterboy, Into the Bloodstream, and Tell Me Why?
Let's say John Legend.
Yeah, of course it's not John Legend. It was Archie Roach. But a little bit later on in the episode, we discovered that this chicken may not be the chicken that he chickens to be.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, man. Seriously, like...
Hazmat. It's a portmanteau. It's so,
you're just saying things, man. Like, I've only got tiny little chicken ears. I know, like, two words.
Mm.
I know, like, predator or, like, fox. And I know, like, seed. Like, my brain is this big, man. Like,
It just seems that you are wildly careening between being a chicken with the limitations and physical restrictions that being a chicken would entail.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you'll just sort of talk about some very human things that you're doing.
Michael.
You know, like going on an aeroplane and going
to New York.
Sort of
brings us back to that first question you had, doesn't it, Michael?
Michael.
Mm. And I guess because the rest of us have turned our webcams on and it does seem to me that you're just refusing to do that potentially again
because you're a man
no.
pretending to be a chicken who occasionally forgets that he's told us he's a chicken.
All right, okay. Do you want me to fess up? Do you want me to be real with you?
Yeah, when will the lies stop, all chicken?
Right, okay. I'm not a chicken.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm a pigeon.
Oh.
Sorry, what?
I'm a pigeon.
Oh.
I'm a blue checkered cock.
Wait, are you changing it again? Or are you, is that a type
no,
of pigeon?
No, you look it up. I'm a blue checkered cock. I'm a racing pigeon.
Again.
I've won several tournaments.
Is that a pigeon or are you saying that you are a cock that's got blue checks
yes,
on
I'm
it?
I'm a racing pigeon. I can fly upwards of 300 kilometres back to my pigeon
I've
loft.
I've never had a conversation with someone where I was more confident that they were reading directly from a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Well, that is that the domestic pigeon, which is me, we are we're from the Colombidae family of bird.
Yes, not sure we ever got to the bottom of that. On the next episode, Brody Snook joined us, trying to get to 10 out of 10. Did an appalling job of that. Maybe because of the brain's trust. We had a professor of facts. You'd expect more from good friend of Jeeves Verma, Dr. Shetty. But perhaps it was the other half of the brain's trust that let him down, because we were joined by a friend of Guy Montgomery's, I guess a friend, the rat in the compost.
Hi, Kyron. Hi, Brody. Hi, Dr. Shetty. Great to be here. Broadcasting.
Shetty. It's Shetty, not Shetty.
I'm terribly sorry. There's a genuine mistake of the accent. Hello, Dr. Shetty. Broadcasting to you live from beneath some hollowed-out eggshells. So hopefully the acoustics are okay.
They sound good
to
me.
They can get a little echoey in here.
Was that breakfast today, some eggs?
Not for me, no. But I do get the feeling that someone in the house next door did have some eggs. I don't know if you've tried eggshell, Kyron, but it's an absolutely horrible taste and one I would not wish upon my worst enemy.
No, I generally put it into the worm farm, my eggshells.
Wow. You know, would that I could. I've visited some worm farms in my time, and they're sort of like luxury apartments to my Ibis equivalent accommodation down here, but I'm not one to hold a grudge.
No. Do you enjoy quizzing? Do you get the fam together? And
Wow, it's sort of a logistical nightmare. I mean, my family, of course, reaches into the thousands, and so I've tried to put on a couple of quizzes. Rats, of course, have been quarantining as well, but, I mean, it's a challenge to get a word in edgewise. They're a rowdy bunch, and frankly, I don't think they appreciate the time and energy. What was that, sorry?
The Zoom quizzes must be immense for the rat community.
I don't know if you've seen a Zoom with 2,000 windows open, but it's pretty difficult to make heads or tails of who's who. As a rat, I feel like I can say this without risking offence. I find, you know, hundreds of my family members virtually indistinguishable from one another.
Yes. I was going to say that. You do all just look like a bunch of heads and tails.
I can say it, you absolute racist pig. That's not for a human to come down here in the muck and the mire and cast aspersions on the imagery of us rats.
Question 6. Which Sydney-born woman has won 4 Academy Awards, more than any other Australian? Which Sydney-born woman has 4 Oscars under her belt?
Now, are you talking about film Oscars?
Yes. The Academy Awards, I understand they're an annual ceremony held in sunny Los Angeles for the best of the best.
My
in
neighbor,
cinema.
Actually, she has a dog named Oscar and a rabbit named Oscar. So that's already 2 Oscars.
Where were they born?
She was born here in Double Bay.
Right.
So that is Sydney, I think, technically. But you are not asking this. You are asking about the film Oscar.
Did she win these animals?
That is not out of the question.
Mm.
After all, if you haggle and you get the prize, that is a sort of a win.
And just because...
And I'm pretty sure she didn't pay full price.
Yeah. And just because you know of 2 animals called Oscar does not mean she doesn't have more animals called Oscar.
It is probable, yeah.
Oh, well, what's her name?
Nicole Kidman.
I'm a huge fan of the cinema myself.
Mm.
Oh yeah, you do you
Do you follow the awards? Do you buy into that as
No,
well as
I don't
watching
really
them?
Believe in ascribing sort of merit-based awards on something as sort of subjective as as performance. But I do love to watch the moving pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Ratatouille, Gang Bang in the Kitchen, Stuart Not So Little, Fuckfest 5000, 5000 Rats, 5000 Holes.
This is probably the first time I agree with you, Raymond. Fuckfest 5000 was one of the better
rat-based pornos.
Yeah. So, sorry, was that Fuckfest 5000 because there's 5,000 rats, or is that the 5,000th film in the series?
So,
both.
It's one of the few porn franchises that is perfectly sequentially synced up the number of entries into the franchise with the number of participants in the films.
And that is a little known fact.
Yeah, so Fuckfest 1 was pretty grim watching, but if you stick with the series, it really starts to come through around the 2000s.
Brody, do you know which Sydney-born woman has won 4 Oscars more than any other Australian?
The only two people I can think would be Nicole Kidman or Kate Blanchett. Kate has not had a mention. Personally, I think she's better, but I am not Oscars. So
have either of them won 4?
I think.
Has Nicole won 1?
I don't know. She's been in more Hollywood-ish big hitters, hasn't she?
So keeping in mind, of course, we're talking about Nicole Kidman, owner of a rabbit and a dog here.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So that's 2. That's 2. Yeah. So, we just don't know. I'd be happy to lock in. I can't be bothered finishing that sentence. What do you think?
Is there a chance it's someone who's not an actor?
Mm.
Yes.
Do they give Academy Awards for other things?
Of course, from my knowledge of these things, yes.
Art design, maybe?
Art design.
Mm.
It seems like tautology, doesn't it? Art and design. Like, if you are doing art, you are doing design. Why need to say it 2 times?
Right, sort of the ATM machine of cinema. Oh,
yeah. Raymond, you seem like very cultured.
I am tremendously cultured, yes.
Do you know any Sydney-born art designers?
Not a huge amount. But I do know of a Sydney-based rat named Renee, who appeared in the 2000 through 2400th Fuckfest franchises. And
that must have really, really taken it out of her.
Yeah. The joy had gone out from behind her eyes by the end of it. But she certainly
sort of time
she,
to retire.
She had grand designs on sexual performance.
Yep. Why didn't she do any more movies after that?
Well, it's hard to say what happens to actors and whatnot in retirement, but the feeling I got was her heart just wasn't at it anymore.
All right. Well, Nicole Kidman, the dog and rabbit owner, Renee from Fuckfest, was it 2000 to 4000?
2000 to 2400.
400, just the 400 films there.
You'd be hard pressed to find a rat who's made it through 2000 of the films.
Or Kate Blanchett. What would you like to lock in, Brody?
I'd like to go with Renee the Rat, please.
Renee the Rat, okay.
It won't surprise you to learn that it was not Renee from New Zealand. It was, in fact, art and costume designer Catherine Martin.
Be that as it may. If you want to check out some fantastic acting, I do recommend Fuckfest 2000 through 2400 if you want to see Renee the Rat, and 2000 to 2,399 other rats just absolutely go hammer and tongs at one another.
Up next, host of popular podcast Do Go On, if you like your history, well worth a check out, and presenter on Triple J, Jess Perkins, tried to get 10 out of 10 with the help of the president of the Friends of New England, who's a good friend of Carlo Ritchie's, and also a good friend of Laura Hart's, the president, I think she's the president of the CWA, of one part of Australia, can't quite remember, Nance Hartigan.
Who's this?
This is Kyron from Wax Quizzical. Is Nance there?
No, sorry, this is Terry. So I'm just in the middle of a solitaire game on the computer. You're looking for Nance, are you?
Yeah, is she there?
Oh, yeah, sorry, hold on one. That's all right. Kyron, was it?
Yes.
Nance, there's someone on the Zooms for you.
All right, I'm coming.
Hello, Kyron. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
A bit of a mix up there. That was my husband, Terry.
Oh, right.
Yes, it was a completely different person. It was Terry. Afternoon is solitaire time for Terry, and we like to give him that time just to be by himself.
Yep.
I was just in the kitchen, as I am, as the vice president of the Country Women's Association.
What are you whipping up today? Some cream?
Some scones. I like to have a dry scone. I think the cream is for the city folk.
Oh, right.
If you can make a scone great, you can make it dry and it'll taste just as good.
Mm, sort of a separatist movement from the cities as well there.
That's correct. Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. So it's a real pleasure and a real delight.
Yeah, this is Jess.
Hi, Nance. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Jess. Hello, darling. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. I'm fascinated by dry scones.
Mm.
No jam or anything.
No jam. Yeah, right. I do make a lovely jam, but no, you've got to have the scones dry. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to send you some in the post. I can just wrap that up in some baking paper and pop it in the post for you.
Nance, I would absolutely love that.
Could take up to 2 weeks at the moment. And Nance, I'm not sure, you might have you met Jeff? He's the president of the Friends of New England.
Yes, I have heard of Jeff. Hello, Jeff. How are you going?
Who's that? Nance Hartigan.
It is, yes, darling.
Nance, I wondered when they said Nance in the CWA. I didn't quite make that connection, you know, because there's also Nancy O'Sullivan.
Yes, but Nancy O'Sullivan is the chapter president, not the vice president, honey.
Is that right? No, I kind of get those mixed up.
Oh, God. Oh, we're just going to have a great time. And you never know, Terry's not the sharpest bulb in the tanning bed, but he can help out around the house, so I'm happy to call on him as well.
How are you feeling, Jess? It does sound like we're going to have rural Australian quiz questions covered.
Yeah, it's the conversation equivalent of a warm hug.
I do get that a lot, yes.
I bet you do, Nance. I bet you do.
All right, well, let's dive into a quiz. Question number one, which song recorded by Bette Midler won Song of the Year at the 33rd Grammy Awards in 1991? Nance, were you watching the Grammys in 1991?
1991. I was up to my pits in baking flour and just getting right into it. That was the year of the biggest bake-off. We were actually trying to make Australia's largest pavlova.
Mm.
Look, I am a Bette Midler fan, though. I do like a bit of Bette. Mm. She's, she can sometimes I do put music on when I'm really getting in the zone in the kitchen. I have to rack my brain about a song, though. That's tricky there. She's got a few good ones, doesn't she?
Yeah. Any favourites?
Let me think. Comes to mind. I'll have to... Terry! Bette Midler. So let me just chat to Terry about it. Sorry, Jeff, you go.
91 was actually the year that the New South Wales Railways shut down the branch line and the Great Northern Rail on from Armidale up to the border.
Mm.
And that actually was a huge, that was a big blow to the community, certainly losing that train line. We'd lost the mail train in 88, actually, November 88, they shut down the branch line and all the infrastructure's still there. And Jess, if you do get a chance to get up to New England, I definitely recommend getting out there and just checking out some of the sites there along the rail line.
Mm.
And so 91, yeah, it was a good year. And I have in my mind a song of Bette Midler's that was going on at the time. And I don't know, it's I feel like it has something to do with wings or being lifted up or something like that.
The wind beneath my, you is are that, the yeah. wind beneath my wings.
Well, that's
I am also
Nance.
The local karaoke champion there. Just a bit of a taste for you.
Champion? I didn't realise it was a competition.
Yes,
oh, it's all comps in the CWA, yeah.
Absolutely. You should see my home, Kyron. Every surface has a bloody trophy on it.
I'd like to see that, Ned. Where are you based?
I'm in Gas.
In Yass?
Gas, the sister suburb to Yass.
Oh, right.
Gas. Yes.
That's very nice. That's cute that they've done that. I don't know if that's a help to you, Jess.
Yeah.
I think it is, because I think that was a bit of teamwork there between you both, which I appreciate. And I loved getting a little glimpse at those golden pipes, Nance.
Am I allowed to sing that song? Is there some sort of copyright to that?
No, that's fine. I don't think it'll be recognisable by the... the people who check that sort of thing, so we should get away with that. Does any of that help you, Jess, as to which song you'd like to lock in?
I mean, I was thinking Wind Beneath My Wings because it was the first one I thought of,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to lock that in.
Why would you ruin a pattern? Of course, it wasn't Wind Beneath My Wings. It was From a Distance.
From a distance there was
home. Didn't catch that second line there. What was that?
And now we take you back to the very first episode, which we actually recorded at the start of 2019, like February 2019, I think it was, when we first piloted this show. I thought of bringing it back, and then it was so funny that I thought, we're never going to top that. So if you haven't listened to the pilot, it is absolutely worth going back and hearing Luke McGregor, before he'd met the devil, try and get 10 out of 10. And he was joined by friend of Cal Wilson's, Jocasta Noonan, an extra special extra who specializes in dying sequences, and a friend of Zach from Auntie Donna's, international composer, Hans Zimmer.
Hello there. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This is an honor for me as well, because I mean, Lion King, we're talking Inception?
Inception. I did the soundtrack to Inception. You mentioned Gladiator before. I remember the scene where you died. It was a very powerful moment. And I was the one that created the music for this moment.
Yeah.
I had the drums going at the time. This is what was in fashion.
Yeah.
I had drums, and initially, I wrote it on the keyboard. I would just sit down, and Ridley, he said to me, I want passion, I want death.
Given how moving some of your scores are, I assume feel free not to answer this, but have you had people who are close to you ask, it'd be an honor for you to do my funeral score?
You know, this is the thing. I don't have a lot of time for friends. You know, I live in a big mansion in LA, and I write music for the films. Yeah. You know,
you may have scored many of Jocasta's death scenes.
And, you know, if you don't have friends, I am prepared to die in real life so that you can score my funeral.
Wow, that's...
This is a real honor. Would you like one loud, monotonous sound? This is what I'm doing at the moment. Maybe two notes.
I think so. Just like a siren, but melancholy.
Oh, yes. I can do this very easily. Or I could collaborate with someone to do some sad music wailing over my big, long notes. You know, this is really the...
It's sounding good.
Thank you. You know, and I'll just sit at a keyboard. Someone will pay me $3.5 million and I'll produce this for them within a day and a half.
Amazing. Wow.
That is a per hour rate. Is a dream scenario, really, isn't
That's
it?
Amazing. Yes. Yeah. You know, but I don't do it for the $3.5 million. I do it to make long, monotonous sounds in big blockbuster movies.
I remember the first time, because we were obviously trying to get you for Rosehaven, we can't afford you, but just the length of the doorbell is extraordinary here, waiting outside the fence for that doorbell to finish.
Yeah. Who wrote the What Katie Did series of children's books?
This is going to bother me because I know I've read these books as a child.
Oh, you've read...
What Katie Did Next, Why Katie Is in Prison, all of them.
They did pivot quite quickly into adult literature with the Katie in jail.
She did everybody. That was the whole problem.
Right. Well, if they ever did a film version, lots of roles.
Oh, yes. She shagged a lot of dead people.
Yeah, I remember Mum reading it to me as a child and thinking, wow, this is... Real baptism of fire into what society's like.
It's quite a popular book in Germany for the children, but we have a darker sense of humour there. So,
it's true.
You know, we just have a darker outlook.
Yeah, it's true.
But the children, they love it. They listen to these stories and they'll often go, oh, could we please hear the next story? Why Katie is having some trouble with the parole board,
I actually vomited after I saw Mum bought me the pop-up book, and I wasn't ready.
Have you had any kids, Hans?
Do I have children? I think of every one of my scores as a child.
Mm-hmm.
If I could ask you,
yes.
What would the soundtrack be to this podcast?
You know, I'd probably do something maybe with some drums, so like dop, 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 and then just sort of a dot, 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 dot.
What do you wish you scored that you didn't?
Anything that little dweeb Danny Elfman does, you know, whenever he's coming at a soundtrack, he did the first Batman. And I said, that was cute, Danny. I'm going to do the next Batman.
Yep.
And then I did a little nookie on him because he's a little dweeb. Have you seen this Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo?
Not in the flesh, no.
No, he's a little dweeb. He really is very embarrassing.
I quite like his score, though, for Batman.
Oh, doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop. Yes. This is my impersonation of Danny Elfman's music. It's so amateur, you know. It's a little dweeb from Oingo Boingo thinks he can make movie music. I laugh at him, you know.
Do you have any other composers that you admire, like John Williams?
You know, he's all right. You know, he does some good music. I also love Alexandre Desplat. He is doing some exciting things. Philip Glass, he was this little dibbleb, dibbleb, dibbleb.
Oh, do you love that one? Huh?
You know, so yeah. I think he is doing some very exciting stuff. Anyone but the little dweeb. And sometimes we just gang up at the Oscars. You know, he got nominated for an Oscar for this movie about the people with the big eyes. And we just cornered him in the toilets at the Kodak Theater and we just bashed him up because he's a little dweeb. He's a little nerd. This is what we do, you know, it's a tough game. And if you're going to come around with your little deebly deebly, you know, you can fuck off, if, in my opinion. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear.
I think from the sounds of that, yes, you can.
Yeah.
But do you know who wrote What Katie Did?
A woman's name.
Yes. Oh, should we put a woman's name?
Yeah, I'm happy to block in a woman's name.
What if it is an androgynous name? Will we fall into some
trouble? Oh, it's like Adrian.
Here? Or George, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, well, if we could lock in an androgynous
name. So it's really just a name.
If we could lock in a name.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a name. It was Sarah College, so no score there. 0 out of 8 so far, I think. Now, this next step features one host of popular ABC podcast from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, an old friend of mine. Finding Desperado, such a good show, such a good show. Finding Drago was brilliant. Their follow-up is as good, if not better. Alexi Toliopoulos joined us, along with the Brains Trust of Sophia Nissoise, PA to the Stars, friend of Susie Youssef's, and friend of Bridie Connell's, a stuntman, wannabe stuntman, Blaine Mason.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I am jazzed, man. Psyched.
Hey, Blaine, thanks for helping me out today.
I could not be happier, honestly.
What's your area of expertise, Blaine? Can you help me out today?
Like parkour. If there's any questions about parkour, I'm your man.
How long have you been doing parkour for?
I was parkouring before I was walking, man. Passionate about it. Every day, out there, jumping, running, tumbling, free falling. You know that song, Free Falling? Based on my life.
Question number 6. What do plants extract from the air to use in photosynthesis? What do plants extract from the air to use in photosynthesis? So we're turning our minds to science now. Mm. Yes. I guess cool. Parkour is a science.
It's a science of the body and the mind.
Mm.
That's right.
What do you extract from the air when you're doing parkour?
I mean, that is a great question, my dude. For me, it's not so much about taking. It's about what I'm giving and putting back into the atmosphere around me.
So is that like mostly like sweat?
Yeah, and like perspiration. That too.
Wow. So moisture.
I don't know that word, but sure, man.
And do you think plants are similar, taking moisture out of the air for photosynthesis?
I think humans are like 90% plant, from what I understand.
But in this case, my guess is the C word. Is the C word?
That was from an earlier question. This is what do plants extract from the air to use in photosynthesis?
Mm-hmm. No hint from a letter at all.
No letter hint. No, I mean, it could be a C word, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Can anyone
maybe
think of a C word?
Maybe we should guess a C word anyway.
Colostrum, for sure. Lock it in twice.
Yeah.
Colostrum?
Colostrum, or if it's close enough to a like chloroform kind of thing, chlorophyll, something like that is good.
Chlorophyll sounds right, man. I know a girl called Chlorophyll. We dated in senior year.
Where did you go to high school?
School of Life.
Fuck,
got expelled.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome.
What is the senior year at School of Life? Because in high school here in Australia, it's year 12 or so, 17, 18 would be a senior year.
Well, I graduated,
You're really making me think about some math here, which I'm not used to doing. Yeah, I'll come back to you.
Okay. And we'll lock in chlorophyll then, Alexi, on question six.
Yes. I mean, it's definitely something like carbon or carbon dioxide or something like this, but you say chlorophyll if it makes you feel like you have control.
I don't need control. I'll just take it, change it to carbon dioxide from now on, and let's move on to the next question.
Holy shit, we got one right. 1 out of 10 so far in this best of 2020 episode of Wax Quizzical. Final question goes to the team of Nick Cody in the contestants' chair, along with good friend of Zach from Auntie Donna's, Thomas Oakley OA, ex-Channel 10 political reporter, and one of New South Wales' top staffy breeders, a friend of Nikki Britton's. It's Elise Sanderson.
Yeah, hello, Byron. How are you, sweetheart?
Yeah, this is more my vibe.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, oh, Nick, hello, darling. I've seen your bit about staffies and that.
Yeah.
You love a staffy, don't you?
Love a bloody staffy. You breed a few
there?
Yeah,
well, I got a staffy. I'm breeding that staffy with whoever will kind of waft past her.
Yeah, beautiful.
Really, is that your approach to breeding?
Yeah, staffy cross everything. Yeah, I love them. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a bogan dog.
It is.
And I'm proud of it.
How many cars without tyres do you have?
17.
Sick. Good collection.
Yeah,
we've
got 17. We got 12 out the front and then 5 out the back.
Well, the maths adds up.
My husband Derek's working on them all the time.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. I don't think they'll ever run again. But he tinkers, you know. You've got to keep tinkering. That's the thing. All these people in lockdown, they're all like, oh, what are we going to do? Just tinker. Just have a good bloody tinker for 6 weeks. You'll be shocked how fast the time will go.
And that's kind of what you do as a dog breeder, isn't it? You sort of tinker with genetics.
Yeah, genitals. I tinker with the genitals and I make sure I get them in there. And genetic. Oh, you like the breeds and that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do as well. Staffy cross Jack Russell. We got a staffy cross.
What do you call that? What's a stacky? What's that? A staffy cross Jack Russell?
That's a stocky little thing. That is.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll outrun anything. You know, you get your staffy cross Labrador.
And is that the goal? How fast they run?
Well, you know, we're breeding them. We're breeding them for speed, agility. We're breeding them for you know, all those people in the city and whatnot. They want their sort of rescue. They want to sort of look like they've done a good thing. So we breed them for sort of terrible attitude and sort of obnoxious personality.
Yeah.
And then when they got – then we give them the little, you know, the jacket they can wear down the dog park that says, oh, I'm a rescue dog and I need some distance. And then all those them people down the city can feel good about themselves.
I haven't heard that before. So
we breed them a bit fast.
You breed them breed them specifically for the pound.
It all comes around, doesn't it?
Oh, it's the biggest market these days,
isn't
it?
If you're untrainable in that.
Yeah.
Then you get these do-gooders, bloody damn there, bloody, oh, this one's a smoocher, oh, I love him. He'll take your fucking hand off if you turn your back on him. But here he is, I've done a good thing, saved him and all that. So, you know, I'm helping him.
Yeah,
can
great.
I, just quick question, how much signed sports memorabilia do you have in your kitchen?
Just the kitchen alone? Is that what you mean?
Like a Danny Green glove next to the spice rack?
That is... Interesting. Have you been to my house, Nick? It's interesting, you know, the specificity
version of
that location. To be honest, in the kitchen, I try to keep any sort of kitchen-directed memorabilia in the kitchen. So it's real niche.
Yeah.
But I do I do have one of Steve Menzies' bloody fork that we nicked from a gala dinner that we went to there for the French Bulldog Association.
Wow.
Fancy.
And Elise, are there any other expert topics aside from dogs, perhaps tinkering with cars, that if they were to pop up in the quiz today, you'd have a bit of extra knowledge on to assist with Nick?
You know what? I actually don't know much about the tinkering of the cars.
Oh.
Because that's Derek's area,
Derek. Yep.
To be honest. And you know what? You need a good marriage is boundaries. And he has that out there with the tinkering of the cars. And so boundaries is my other one. So if anything sort of comes up around, you know, emotional boundaries or sort of interpersonal relationships and the need for both vulnerability and a sense of strong self-worth, then that's me. I've got it.
Wow.
That's it. Great. And also a border collie mix.
Who is set to play Catwoman in the upcoming film The Batman? Who is set to play Catwoman in the next Batman movie? Thomas Oakley, do you get down to see much more than the occasional documentary?
Like the Ides of March, is that what you're referring to? That was a fantastic film I saw about 5 years ago, the last time I went to the cinema.
Yes, well, it's a very popular movie from a while back, isn't it?
Yes. Now, that movie showed the joy and the fun, certainly, of a politician's life, something we don't think of often. But let me tell you, the one thing I can say about Catwoman is that is a difficult role to play. Much like Penny Wong in the Senate, one has to step into that role with acumen, with presence, and with passion. But one also needs to understand that they are not the Prime Minister. To play within this Parliament House is a different game to the media landscape. I'm going to say Zoe Kravitz. I reckon it's Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
Thomas, I imagine when you go to the movies, it's never in a theatre that has more than maybe 30 seats in it. You know what I mean? It's
never a... They're all spread out as well, aren't they?
You're not seeing a blockbuster.
My local cinema has a wine glass with three different lines on it. I get to choose the amount of wine in my glass, and they've humorously titled it things like feature length, short film, that sort of thing, to indicate the amount of wine I get poured. I get the largest amount of wine because I am an alcoholic.
Elise Sanderson, the comic books make their way into your life at all, or perhaps the movies that come from them?
No, I've got no bloody time for it, that sort of thing. I mean, Footrot Flats was quite good, actually. That wasn't bad there with Snoopy, actually. Snoopy was
a dog.
Actually also very good. Strong connection there, relationships, you know, relationships and dogs, and that's what I'm about. I don't care for this bloody Catwoman bullshit, though. I'm a dog person through and through. I'll fucking cut a bitch that fucking says I'm the fucking shit. Get out of the house with dogs or cats. It's not even a fucking competition. I'm sick of this. Christ, this BuzzFeed bullshit. Are you a fucking cat or a fucking dog person? Get out of me face, you dumb cat.
All right, Nick. Well, there's that or Zoe Kravitz as the two options available to you, or you could go your own way as well.
Well,
what do you reckon?
One of the things I have to do for the breakfast radio job is unfortunately read far more news than I'd like to read from all different sources. And I did see that there was Zoe Kravitz's name, but I thought that was for a... Was that for a series? Is this for a movie or a series?
This is the upcoming film, The Batman.
You know what? They can't go Anne Hathaway again. They can't steal her from the other one. I will lock in Zoe Kravitz.
Locking in Zoe Kravitz. Question number four.
I'm so sorry. Is this for a human being playing and sort of dressing up in that, in a cat?
Yeah. Like,
I do apologise. I hear cat and I'm triggered. Zoe Kravitz is a good one.
So just hearing the word cat sort of sets you off.
Don't say it again. Come on. What's the question for? Fuck.
Do you like the musicals of Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I know where you're going. Know where you're going with it.
Question number four.
Hope it's not what AFL team is based in Geelong.
Fucking hell.
They said Zoe Kravitz, and it is indeed Zoe Kravitz, giving us 2 out of 10 for the best of episode of Wax Quizzical. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that was fun. It has been an amazing 6 months. And as we kick off next week, we have an incredible 6 months ahead of us, starting with Dilruk Jayasinghe is going to be on. Luke McGregor is back as Satan. Cal Wilson, Jeeves Verner, Matt Stewart, Mish Grigger, who you might have seen pop up on Auntie Donna, and a whole heap more. Those episodes, Monday, every Monday, you can catch it. If you enjoyed this and you've made it this far, I suspect you may have. There's a subscribe button in the app that you're in right now. And that means that every single Monday morning, first thing, it'll be in your inbox so you can listen on the train. Remember public transport. We'll get back to recording them. My name's Kyron Wheatley. That's Wax Quizzical. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.